So to turn around figures into new products and our new product strategy.
Okay.
The operating result, and by the way, we have Oliver Bethe speaking, the CEO of Allianz. Sorry for the technical difficulties. The result increase in property and casualty and in life insurance developed very well. We can hear time and again these days that the age of life insurance is over. We disagree, quite to the contrary. We believe that there is an alternative future for the life insurance because our newly developed products allow our customers to make solid retirement provisions even in times of low interest rates. And we have to honor the trust of many of our customers into our products, and that's what we do, and the success of these products speaks for itself, by the way. Since the Perspectiva concept was launched 2 years ago, around 130,000 policies have been sold in Germany. In the first half of 2015, products featuring new guarantees accounted for a new business share of 63% of private provision products at Allianz Life in Germany, at Allianz Lebensversicherung. So a great result, and I would like to congratulate my colleagues in Allianz Lebensversicherung to that great result. In another new product in Germany is Comfort Dynamic, which includes a dynamic component made up of equity investments, allowing our customers to participate more in stock market developments. An important step ahead is that we offer our customers security and capital protection of their capital, and on the other hand, in times of very low interest rates, they have the opportunity to participate in positive market development. So this mix of security and yield is what makes up the future for this group of products. And Allianz Lebensversicherung has managed to boost its market share for risk products and products that involve recurring premium payments significantly, while we have taken a conscious decision to let our share of single premium business markets drop. In Italy, another major core market for a life insurance business, we had 75% of gross written premiums in the first half of the year from the sale of new capital-efficient products. Here we also launched two new products on the market, Allianz Hybrid and Allianz Hybrid Premium Edition, both of which are already proving to be a hit, and similar products are also becoming increasingly popular in the growing Asian markets. Our strong growth in health and life insurance is due to those new product strategies. And in connection with this, one of the implications of this product strategy is also that our conventional product business is declining, and it's not just a matter of higher capital efficiency, but these are also better products for our customers. Let me now talk about asset management. The development of the segment is in line with our expectations. Assets under management remain stable compared with the end of the last year at 1.8 trillion euros, and the drop in operating profit to 1.1 billion euros was consistent with our projections for the year. At PIMCO, in the second quarter compared to the first quarter, we were able to more than halve third-party net outflows, and that is a trend which also continued in July. There are some areas outside core business where we've seen continuous flows, income and flows. Allianz Global Investors, on the other hand, in the first half of the year, generated higher net inflows of funds from third parties. And then in the second quarter, Allianz Global Investors, at 6.7 billion euros, generated its highest net inflow in funds from third parties ever. So a very positive result. The first half of 2015 was successful for us on the whole against the challenging market environment. And what's important here is that we focus with PIMCO on what's important. We have a different statement compared to others, so we say that the situation is better than the results that we've posted so far. And let me explain this to you. The most important thing PIMCO had to do was to take care of its customers, of its and our customers. And we're glad that they've been able to do that successfully. We invested a lot into increased service, into better marketing towards the customers, and that is also reflected in costs. And on the other hand, secondly, we focused on the further improvement of the investment performance. And you were able to see over the last few months, especially in the total return fund, that the situation has stabilized and improved, and the investments results were great. That is the most important for our customers. And the third point is that we invested into the stabilization of the management team and into our employees. And contrary to forecast, we still kept most of our top managers highly motivated. And with Benanke Mr. Fels, the first managing director of PIMCO, we were even able to gain great experts for PIMCO. That's why I'm highly positive about the future of PIMCO and the business development. And in the next quarters, we will be able to see continuous improvements. Now, on the investment side, and to the benefit of our customers, we've made a number of successful investments over the past few months. For example, we've further extended our infrastructure portfolio and are supporting the City of London with measures to modernize, for example, its sewage system. And moreover, we also recently invested into the highway service station company Tank und Rast. And with the first infrastructure debt transaction, our volume in this asset class rose to 3 billion euros. We've also stepped up our commitment to renewable energies. By the end of the first half of the year, we've, for example, had 54 wind farms and 7 solar parks in our portfolio. And this means that we are generating enough electricity to supply a city the size of Barcelona. Furthermore, our new investments in real estate total 2.1 billion, or more than 2.1 billion euros, for the first half of 2015 alone. So the journey into alternative and real investments continues, and we are highly satisfied with our investments. There were some debates about Tank and Rust, and we're glad about this investment. There were many disappointed investors who would have liked to do that kind of business. Let me now hand over to the economic environment, which is on slide 4, by the way. The economic environment is can be summed up in three topics, which are Greece, China, and the Fed. And the two latter issues, the risk of a hard landing in China and the imminent turnaround in interest rates in the United States, are certainly more significant in terms of their direct impact on the global economy than the first factor, which is mainly a European and mainly a political issue. So let me turn my attention to China first. The big question on everyone's mind is the turbulence on the stock exchanges, especially in Shanghai, merely the correction of an overheated market, or is it a sign that the days of controlled economic development in China could soon be over? Well, there's a lot at stake, because over the past 5 years, Asia, with China as its driving force, has been responsible for around half of global growth, and if this engine starts to stall, there will be massive implications for all of us. Also, the potential impacts of the announced turnaround in interest rates in the United States should not be underestimated. Many asset classes, many markets have very ambitious valuations, and these valuations can often only be justified against the backdrop of the zero interest rate policy. Liquidity, also due to stringent regulation, has dropped considerably, which means that the market is more vulnerable to substantial price fluctuations. Let there be no mistake, we welcome this turnaround in interest rates and are working on the assumption that things will return to normal, but every process of change comes hand in hand with downs. The emerging markets could be particularly hit hard by another withdrawal of capital, and that is what poses risk. And in addition to the slowdown in growth in China, this would put further pressure on the regions that used to be the global economy's powerhouses. So it's the question how everything will continue in China, not just on the markets, but also from the operating point of view. And then, last but not least, we have the topic of Greece. Given the circumstances, the agreement reached on a renewed attempt to save Greece's future in the Eurozone is the best possible outcome. And we'd like to emphasize in this case the phrase, given the circumstances. Because let's be under no illusions. The Greek crisis has cost us, Europeans, a lot in terms of our image and reputation, and a lot when it comes to international confidence into the euro. So the last Euro summit left a double mission to be fulfilled, one for Greece and one for the Eurozone as a whole. Some degree of skepticism is still called for, because the prospect of a Grexit is certainly not up the agenda yet. We mainly have the ECB to thank for removing any question marks hovering over the future of the monetary union, despite all of the side effects and collateral damage associated with the ECB's continued measures to save the euro, which we are all too familiar with. That is why it is high time for policymakers to make the most of the time that's been bought for us and make far-reaching reforms to the architecture of the monetary union. This certainly won't be an easy task and it won't happen overnight. That's why we assume as a result that the ECB will stick to its zero interest rate policy and will be caught by that for some time. And that is why we base our assumptions on a long-term period of low interest rates, and we're well prepared for that. And that brings me to my outlook on the operating result of Allianz Group for this year on slide 5. New products and our diversified business model have helped us to achieve solid half-yearly results despite negative one-offs. As a result, we can therefore confirm our operating profit guidance for 2015 and remain that we'll reach the upper end of the target range at 10.8 billion euros. As always, this outlook is subject to the caveat that natural catastrophes and turbulence on the capital markets will remain within normal boundaries. Ladies and gentlemen, I would now like to make you acquainted with the first thoughts of our heritage and renewal program. And before I enter into slide number 6, let me just make some remarks. Oftentimes a new CEO comes on board and instead now the new one comes and everything has to become different overnight and everyone will have to prove as the new CEO that he or she will at some point do everything differently. At Allianz, this is neither necessary nor useful. We are a highly solid and very successful company and I've taken over this company from Michael Diekmann and my colleagues and I'm very proud of that. And that is why we'll continue a lot of what we have done so far and we'll not put that into question. But nevertheless, some elements remain to be done to be prepared for the major changes we will have to face so that we can maintain our success for the future, and this is what we'll do together. I would now like to talk about slide 6 of my presentation. So compared to other new CEOs, I had a special privilege, and it was having the time between October and taking over as CEO in May to be able to listen intently. Because we and I wanted to find out firsthand what people think of Allianz, especially our customers, what they think, our shareholders, but also the employees, our distribution partners, representatives from the world of politics, as well as associations, but also media, non-governmental organizations, and supervisory authorities. And I wanted to hear what all these groups expect from us in the future. And let me just talk about the core results in a nutshell. We are seen as a strong, trusted partner. Integrity, competence, and sustainability are all closely associated with our brand, which is, in times of a shaken world of the financial industries, something exceptional that we can truly be proud of. The second message was that, nevertheless, our world is in a fundamental process of change, in a very rapid one, mainly due to digitalization. And that means we not just have to prepare ourselves for this passively, but we need to act to seize the opportunities. And this means we need to take decisive action. That's what we're working on. On slide 7, you can see the main areas that we are talking about when we say that Allianz is strong. It's not just about performance, but also about vitality and trust that we're talking about. We are a high-performing company. We have a series of record results behind us, and we've mastered the crisis of the past, especially the last one in Europe didn't affect us at all. It made us stronger even. We're the number one of global insurers. We're leading in asset management, and in spite of several shocks, our yields for shareholders and customers have seen great development. This is proof that we are a vital company. We have one of the strongest brands in the world. We get recognized for leading know-how in the insurance and asset management business. We have very loyal employees, and we've strengthened our business model over the last few years, if you only think about the build-up of our so-called global line. And one thing that was truly important, and that's why we have the center, that is the topic of trust. We depend on the fact that our customers and society as a whole put trust into us. And that was the strongest feedback we had. We have the trust of our stakeholders because they believe that we will continue to act in a competent and conscious way and sustainable way, so that will not just improve the next quarterly results, but also improve long-term results, and that is good, and that is what we believe in. And now the question is how we can handle this. And on slide 8, you can see an overlook of the companies that the topics that we are dealing with and have dealt with and that we need to handle. So we distinguish between three basic sources of change for the next few years. Fundamental changes that affect everything, cyclical trends, and potential shocks. Now, when we talk about fundamental change, global growth is shifting. That's nothing new. We know that growth is declining in the West, especially in Europe, and increasing in Asia. But that's not just referring to geographical shifts. We also, within economies, have shifts of growth. The last 100 years in PNC, we've grown above all through the increase of values of the insured goods, cars and houses above all, and the higher number of cars and houses that were built. Now, for some years, this trend has changed, and at some point in time, the insured values will decline. But nevertheless, there are new growth markets. When we talk about technology, about cyber risks, but also about health and spare time, leisure time activities, we have new growth fields, growth areas, which enable us to offer our customers new products and new services. So digitalization and technological advances are the second major trend. That's also nothing new. What's new is the unprecedented speed that we see here and the force of this, of these technological changes and how they influence our business models. We don't need to talk about Uber or Airbnb. In every business model, digitalization means a significant change, and the changes in are reflected everywhere. We can see a high degree of technology content. That's true above all for the financial services industry, where we have customer contact on and off, which is also the case for us, and also where we have significant shifts in business models, and that is true for part of financial services without a doubt. So our industry will be affected significantly by the effects of digitalization, and that is a change that we are a challenge that we're willing to face. And then there are also major demographic changes. We're getting grayer and grayer and older and older. This is something that's been described for years, but nevertheless the social systems have not been adapted accordingly, and we need to make sure that we can support our customers in this new world. And the fourth topic then are the geopolitical instabilities. I've grown up in a time where the world got safer and safer month by month, year by year, and this trend has changed. We have more refugees from the Middle East coming to us that we want to support and help, but that's not the only factor, but it also influences our business model. We cannot assume that the times of quietness that we had in the 80s, 90s, and the early years of the new millennium might return overnight, which means we cannot just withdraw to ourselves and only serve our customers around the corner. We are a strong partner to our customers also in social and political situations which are affected by major challenges. So for example, we're the second largest life insurer in Egypt, and we supported our customers all through the Arab Spring and will continue to do so. So these are the major changes in a nutshell that have an influence on our business model in the future. I could talk for hours about what this will mean in the future. Unfortunately, we don't have the time now, but you will certainly speak about this moreover. And in addition to these basic changes, we also have cyclical trends which are exacerbating the changes, interest rate lows and capital market bubbles, which could also be a topic for an hour-long discussion. And we have to face that these factors will not vanish overnight. The PNC cycle is showing towards a trend in many markets which we are being prepared for, and as other parts of our industry, we're also confronted by an ever-increasing degree of regulation, which is always meant to a certain benefit, but which is not always helpful. So these capital market and political risks can lead to potential shocks, which we also need to be prepared for. Now, what are the trends that we need to deal with? And here the question is, or these are the trends, and now the question is how we deal with them. Now, I won't talk in detail about slide 9, but it shows how, at the basis of a very strong and solid basis, and against the backdrop of massive changes, we will prepare ourselves for the future. We want to make sure that we are oriented towards the needs of our customers in a consistent way. Now, you might say this is nothing new. I mean, it hasn't always been the case in our industry that we were really consumer-focused, and in a digital world, in a world where regulation changes, where transparency increases, we can only be successful if we put the customer right into the focus. So we need to understand digitalization as a topic that not just happens on a website or on a smartphone app, but that it needs to be something that we can found across the board in our organization. We sent out hundreds of millions of letters in the past, which oftentimes weren't read and didn't lead to any value add. And in our communication, we want to become more and more digital wherever our customers need that and wish for. Now, the topic of technical excellence is highly important to us. The investment yields are decreasing, and we therefore need better results in our underwriting business, and we need to do this across the board. We're well on the way, but we need to improve there. And we're able to perform great in our traditional markets, and that gives us the possibility to enter into new growth markets. It's not just about growing in the emerging markets in Africa and Latin America or Asia, but also to open up new fields of growth in our mature markets. And for that, we need to secure that Allianz remains the partner of trust, but we also need to change our culture. That is highly important, because growth first happens in the minds and then in the business. And oftentimes we've had the discussion that there's one employee coming with a good idea that then many people say that's dangerous and riskful. And what we need to find is the right balance between growth and protection of our core business. Now, on slide 10, you can see how we want to handle this topic, how the individual elements are linked to specific measures and packages of measures. And we started the process in May, so just a few weeks ago. We have every topic controlled by two board members who then have five international teams with 200 experts from the operating entities and also from headquarters. And we discussed this agenda time and again, not just in the board of management, but we also seize modern and communication forums to include a large part of our employees. We cannot say we want to become digital and then the board of management won't be digital. You can see a short overview of the next steps on slide 11. We'll seize the month of August to go deeper into the proposals brought about by those teams, and we'll then discuss the results mid-September intensively with our top management in Munich. And till the end of November, we will then bring the results of those discussions into our communication, and we want to start with the implementation already at the beginning of 2016. Our goal is to implement these targets as quickly but as well as possible. Now, before Mr. Wemmer will go into details on the figures, let me sum up the overall results. Allianz experienced growth in revenue and results in the first half of the year, and that is why we confirm our guidance at the upper end of the target corridor. We want to continue reaching great results even though the global economic environment remains volatility, and with our program Heritage and Renewal, Allianz is taking a strong step ahead and seizes its strength to further build up its market position. Thank you very much for your kind attention.
All right. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm continuing with the figures for the second part. Before I start with the figures directly, please allow me to make one short remark about page 3, which is the business highlights. where we highlight the innovations and special developments that happened in the quarter, which is good for your own studies. But I would like to refer to one point. I think in the German translation there is a little incorrectness in there. When it comes to international life and health, we launched an app that helps you to send your claims invoices. And since August 2014, this is available for customers. And meanwhile, two-thirds of our customers started to use this app, and just one-third just sent it on paper. And that is probably a bit misleading in this text. And we are also using the same app in Germany. We launched it somewhat later, but our German customers don't feel that comfortable in taking photographs of their invoices and use this app for settling their claims and losses. Now, number four, page four, 2.84 billion euros. That is a slight increase versus the previous year, and this 2.842 billion continues the good trend of the good quarters before, and I think we are well on track with that. And this is being supported by a continuously positive organic growth, 30 billion euros revenues for the second quarter, and a quarterly surplus of 2 billion, and that is 15% above the previous quarter. And if you look at the 6 months, we are 13% above the half-year result 2014. What is becoming more and more important is the equity situation, and since Solvency II requires rethinking for the university, for the industry. And I think we are well prepared in our industry, and we have a solvency ratio of 212%. That's where we are clearly above the analysts expect from us, who really calculate precisely. And we worked hard on our management in this respect. And that has to be adjusted to what is happening in the financial market. And that's relatively complicated. So let me now go to the segment. The P&C growth is 9% if you also take credit off the exchange rates. And if you correct it by the exchange rates, then acquisitions, we still have 1.6% internal organic growth, and the half-year figure is better in Germany and also in France, and also in our brokers business. We had booking shifts between March and April, and that's why the six-year figure is more helpful rather than looking at each quarter individually. AGCS, which is our key account business, 2% growth. Don't get confused by the 65% overall growth, which is just a figure, because now the premium of Fireman's Fund is being shown under AGCS. So it's not a growth, it's just a different way of showing that before in the previous year. With another good organic growth, Allianz Worldwide Partners looks fine, which is our global network, both international health insurance, but also our assistance, performance, and services with 9%. This really continues the organic growth trend that we've seen for many years. We've seen the highest growth in a country that you can't really see, that was Turkey, 22% organic growth, in a country that is politically having some trouble at the moment, of course. And looking at P&C and operating profit, 400 million euros more than in the previous year. And that is driven by a very good combined ratio, 93.5%, which is an excellent second quarter, in addition 220 million euros are included in these figures, which are sales revenues coming from retail business of Fireman Fund minus cost restructuring we've made in the US. And the, you know, the runoff ratio, and that means how many odd reserves that it was needed, it was not needed, that was 3.4, it's on the previous level, and that's the level for the runoff ratio that we've been showing for years. What are the countries that particularly made their contribution to this result? On page 8, Germany seen a great combined ratio below 90%. And definitely the low number of Nat Cats helped. Italy, we stay on this excellent level of 85%, but also France is finding itself in a very good and profitable situation. AGCS stands out negatively with 110%, but that is due to the restructuring and the integration of Fireman's Fund business. If I take these two parts separately and show Fireman's Fund separately, then Fireman's Fund would be below 94%. That means that it's the result that you also basically achieved in the previous year. And Fireman's Fund, if I show it individually, is 130%. And so in the second quarter, we've increased our reserves to really cast the bottom line under the past and close up with it. If I may say a few words about the interest revenues and the capital investment result in P&C. When it comes to absolute figures, we are slightly higher than in the previous year, which is definitely a surprising result. So where we are complaining about the declining interest rates as an industry in the second quarter has seen special effects because the share dividend is being received, and that is one of the aperiodic income over the year, which is normal practice. So the current yield, you can see, even though if we were dropped by 6 basic points. If you add it over the year, then 30 basic points of declining average interest is an appropriate assumption. That means you do see that the interests are declining further, 0.74 for one quarter, that is 3% for the year. If you take a reinvestment in interest of 2.2, so this can be calculated easily, so that the average interest rate goes down to the reinvestment interest rate, and then as long as the quantitative easing is continued in Europe and other parts of the world, this situation will not change. If we now go to the life and health business. Now we're showing a negative growth. Is that bad? No. We started to change our new business mix, and we made effort in doing so. Classic products with a classic long-term guarantee were reduced in our portfolio because we believe that both for customers and also for shareholders, we couldn't give them the optimal solutions, and I'm going to say more about this topic when it comes to the German example. In the US, we are selling almost exclusively our fixed index annuities, which is very similar to the product of Alpha Select and the other Select that we have on the German market. And we imported the product from the US down to Stuttgart. And this product last year saw a huge boom in the sales figures because we added new product features onto the market. But meanwhile, there are also competitors who want to take a piece in this cake as well. And despite high volumes, we weren't able to reach the top volumes of last year. In Asia Pacific, growth is particularly driven by Taiwan, and the focus clearly being on the fund-linked insurance. And in Spain, we have a new savings product with our banking partner, Banco Popular, and that's what we launched onto the market over there. The result in life and health, page 11, 850 million. It went down to 850 million. Would you call it a disappointment? No, we wouldn't. In the first quarter, 1,100 million euros operating profit was shown. And back then we stated that 200 million euros were positive one-off effects. And accordingly, I have to say here that we also had to enter some negative one-off effects. First of all, for risk management, we're using derivatives, in particular interest derivatives. With the declining interest scenarios, they will have a positive effect on the operating profit. And when the interests go up, then it's the other way around. So by the half year, the interests went back to the level of the 1st of January. If you basically would calculate both quarters, maybe that is the benefit for the companies who are able to give semi-annual reports, and then these results would compensate each other, and the result of 2 billion euros of operating profit contains much less one-offs, because we have counter effects in this figure, and that is still a very strong result. I should also say for the second quarter that our old guarantees in Korea were increased by 95 million euros. That's definitely a negative effect, a one-off effect. And then in the second quarter, given this interest situation in Korea, which is not particularly different than here in continental Europe, this is definitely a business where the old guarantees are still exposed to some kind of pressure. On page 12, we have a new business margin of 1.5% in the second quarter, which is the same new business margin that we've had in the first quarter. This is always a complicated calculation for this margin, and that's why all the explanations are quite technical. We're using this margin by using the interest situation always on the first quarter, on the first day of the quarter. That means on 1st of April, interests were very low. That was 2 weeks before the 10-year bond reached its historic high with the 6 basic points. If I took the same new business margin for ELS 1st of June, 1.5 would turn into 2.6%. And since we distribute the business evenly over 12 weeks of a quarter, you can say that that would be the mean value, and that would fairly reflect the new business value. But when it comes to our technical statement, we always refer to the beginning of the quarter, and this will then also balance itself out over several quarters, and that's why it's not that relevant. Going to page 13, that is always our statement whether our guarantees are still safe and to what extent is the company able to service the guarantees and offer the guarantees. What can the customers benefit and what is the benefit for shareholders? And I can confirm to you that in all points we are able to realize our guarantees long-term and still make disbursements for profit and result participation. That is shown here after the profit share and paying the guarantees. So we have 21 basic points remaining for the quarter that apply, and that corresponds to roughly 84 basic points if you would convert that to the overall year figure. and in this quarter, no special effects coming from gain and profit realizations are included. That means the obligation was realized in the life business coming from the current interest. And that also allows me on page 14 now to show and go somewhat deeper in our German life business. And I think this is necessary because there is a large number of financial experts. There are a lot of different statements about the European and in particular the German life business. And we believe that our German life business is definitely a sustainable model, and I would like to explain this further at the example of Allianz Leben in Stuttgart. Let us start with the light blue pillar in the middle. What we have seen here over the past 5 years, that is our average interest above the guarantee. That means we've deducted the guarantees. The calculation of the average guarantees can be seen on the left. So from 3.3 from 2010 average went down to 2.8%, as you can see on the left, in 2014, and then also in 2015, they're going to decline further because we have a maximum of 1.25% of guarantee. With many of our products of Perspektive where guarantees are much lower, but the profit share and the opportunities for our investors in real assets are much better for our customers. But customers can see quite clearly here, as long as you have 190 basic points above the guarantee, that this is a very safe investment. Then we've seen a lot of discussions and how the Solvency II ratio look like. And what we're showing here is a half-year figure for the Allianz Life in Stuttgart, Allianz Leben, and as a company and not as part of the group, because I'm going to explain that sentence as well. As a standalone company, this is above 300%, and that excludes any transitory regulations or transitional and insolvency too. You will also have seen this, I'm sure that you have seen this word already. In the group accounting, the Solvency II ratio from Stuttgart will be included with a smaller figure because many of the security guarantees in the free IFBs are included in the free IFBs and other reserves, which in the long run are used exclusively for customers. Which shows on the whole that with a surplus participation of 93.9%, we have really lot of and high participations that we give to customers for policyholders. And due to the size and despite the size of the system, and we can still show a nice operating profit and dividend. And the size of the balance sheet of the company is further increasing. And since this is growing as well, then we do also see further growth available for the shareholders with great policy participation for the customers. And that's why let me come to the asset management. Mr. Better mentioned this already. The assets under management have not changed much to the second half of the year, but they became a bit smaller and declined towards the second half year. Interest went up as the stock market corrected downwards and the dollar became somewhat weaker, and that's why taking all three effects plus the continued outflows from PIMCO will have a negative effect which is 80 billion in the second quarter as a total figure. And you need to add that PIMCO with almost 30 billion outflows and net flows had less net flows than in the first quarter, and June with a small one-digit figure, that was 1 billion, continues this trend of recovery. Allianz Global Investors, we sometimes don't mention this. This has 7 billion of inflows, and that's why our asset management segment is very strong. The revenues have reduced, corresponding to the assets under management, specifically in PIMCO, whereas the margin that we achieve is 2 basis points less than in the previous year quarter. But if you look at the last few quarters, it is on 39.6 level and has stayed there. So with the outflows, in particular, at the end of last quarter, we've seen higher outflows in our retail business than in the institutional business. Allianz Global Investors is above 53 basis points with a good margin. Our operating result is 505 million and is somewhat weaker than the previous year, but it is in line with our expectations. And what we also showed in a 10.4 billion, that is the figures that you see here. And the cost situation in PIMCO has not changed to the extent that the cost budget was kept on the original level, more or less. And in order to reflect the new alignment for PIMCO and to make the focus of the performance in the managed funds, and customer service will be expressed by that, clearly. That leads me to the end of my presentation. For the sake of completeness of the figures, we have the so-called corporate segment. This is the figures of the holding and central management, but also a few other businesses are included in here. These figures are more or less unchanged. The slight decrease in holding and treasury is due to the fact that our corporate pension is now 2.0% instead of calculating it with 3.5% in the previous year, which increases the expenses by 47 million euros. And for those who are dealing with financials more intensively, for the German trade book or the HGB calculation, that was a discussion. What should companies use in Germany as an interest rate? And they found a rather generous solution, a higher interest rate, because otherwise the cost for the corporate pensions would be pushed upwards for the accounting. Those customers who use IFRS don't have this exit, and that's why they have to take what the markets dictate, and that's why it's 2.0%. Then, looking at the overall calculation coming from the operating result to the net income of the 2.842 billion, due to the realized gains, which are not included in the life segment because we always show this as operating results, we have 424 million that we've achieved in this quarter, and the interest expenses from external debt are slightly higher since in March, 1.5 billion we also provided subordinate bonds in addition. And also the write-offs on immaterial assets is slightly higher for the amortization in intangible assets. Income before taxes is lower because part of the realized gains, in particular the profits from shares, are exempted from the taxes. That's why the tax rate has been reduced, and running taxes definitely unchanged versus the previous year, and that's why the structure of the tax expenses have not changed. So I can only summarize that it's another very strong quarter, and revenue, profit, operating profit, but also the shareholders' net income make their contribution. And with this strong picture and the solvency to ratio of 212%, we are best equipped for the future quarters. Thank you very much, Mr. Wemmer. And Mr. Bethe, before we come to the question and answers, I'd like to apologize. We had a few difficulties dialing in, but most of you just or not heard my introduction, but you haven't missed. And I would like to say, I would like to apologize for Mr. Schaefer that it took much longer because of a wrong information of the operator. Now the word is used. Now we'd like to start with a Q&A session.
So if you want to ask a question, please press asterisk and the number one key on your phone. Please make sure that you deactivate your mute button so that our signal can reach the device. So once again, please press star one if you want to ask a question. We'll now take the first question by Michael Fleming of Börsen-Zeitung. Good morning, Mr. Bethe, Mr. Wemmer, Mr. Galizugaro. Three questions. First of all, Mr. Bethe, you stated that in parts of the financial industry, there were inefficiencies in the business model. So where do you see inefficiencies at Allianz, and where do you also foresee a change of the corporate culture? Then second question, you've also taken over HR from the 1st of September. Why was that important to you? And then third question regarding the analysis of the current situation. You said that if you look at the cycle in P&C, you see a decrease coming up. So are we at the peak of the cycle now, and how do we have to expect what will happen in the long term? Which measures will you need to take to prepare for that? Okay, Mr. Fleming, thank you very much. We've taken a lot of time from your time with our explanations. That's why I'll try to stick short. I'll answer the first two questions, and then Mr. Wemmer will answer the third question. First of all, the inefficiencies in the industry, and especially at Allianz. Well, we come from a highly complicated regulatory world, and oftentimes we had to adapt products to the regulatory world. And digitalization now enables us to set up products much easier in the processes and to set up completely new interfaces and avoid issues in advice and so on. So it's less a question of what was wrong in the past, but more a question of what opportunities do new technologies offer us. And what we need to make sure is also at Allianz that we get products which are easier and easier to understand. You might remember years ago you had to answer 25 questions before you received a quote for auto insurance, and now you can do this through one of our fast quote products within a few minutes, sometimes even a few seconds, by just entering some key figures like name, address, and the license plate, and then you will get the price immediately. And that's a prototype of what we need across the board. So for every P&C product in the future, we imagine something that makes it much easier to understand for the customer, to understand prices, to get quicker to a solution at lower costs. And that is something we need to do. That this will by no means replace personal advice, because we have many different risks and different investment necessities in our private life. So we will still also need personal advice, but that needs to be in an integrated and not a product-specific way. That was the first topic. And then the second topic, the second question, well, HR is a topic for the boss, because we are in the people business, and where a cultural change will go through people. And that is why I think the topic of HR needs to be linked closer to strategy. And the cultural change needs to become an element of change stemming from strategy. And that's why I've taken this on, this responsibility. Now, Mr. Wemmer. Yeah, the second question. Well, if you are a monoliner in a single market, then this is a dramatic question indeed. There's not the cycle. There are many independent cycles. If we talk about major customers and corporate business, you currently have an international cycle. where it might be correct that we've reached a peak. But in private business, the individual markets are very much independent of each other and do not act in any kind of coordinated way. And we also do not don't underwrite 100% of the market in the individual markets. Our market shares are smaller, even though they are pretty large in some areas, but we can move around a bit, little bit in our business mix in this regard, and therefore then focus on those products and services where we believe we can grow our profits sustainably and don't have to expand in areas where price pressures are the largest. So that is why we believe there will be a shift maybe of OEs, and that is how this will be reflected in. But we're optimistic also for the P&C business that we will have a positive future. Does that answer your question, Mr. Fleming? Yeah. Thank you. Okay, and then we'll come to the next question. Our next question is by Wall Street Journal. Yeah, good morning. My questions are about asset management. I'm a little astonished that you've been so optimistic about that. I don't understand why the situation is better than the figures, as you said. Could you explain that a little bit? And I also would like to know what you want to do to gain a better footholding. And my last question then, regarding investigations in the United States, how do you counter the allegations there? Thank you very much for your questions. Well, we truly believe that the published accounting figures not always reflect the economic reality in parts of our companies. After Bill Gross suddenly left us at the end of September last year, that was a huge shock in the change of a founder-led company into a normal institution, if you wish. And that's a process that takes some time, usually. I've seen several organizations, also in asset management, which have to go through such changes, and it's taken some of them 3-4 years until they recovered. And if you look now at the speed at which we've been able to install and establish a new management team to bring together a team that can lead PIMCO into the future, and if you look at the significant outflows we had to deal with, where everyone said, well, financial markets might collapse because all those derivatives are shaken out. Nothing of that happened. Then we were told all our top people would leave us. Nothing of that nature has happened. They all stayed. Ben Bernanke even came on board as an advisor. I said, Jochen Fels joins as an advisor. And other significant experts have returned to PIMCO after they change, and that makes PIMCO even stronger. Moreover, we also invested into a retention program for our non-managing directors. That cost us some investment money, but you can see the results. We have a stable team. Every headhunter tried to steal away top people from us, and with a few exceptions, we've been able to stabilize and keep the great team. And then if we look at performance, it was truly difficult in times of a threat of a change in the interest rate trends. It was difficult to convince customers to invest into total return products. There was a significant change in investor behavior. And against this backdrop, the colleagues did great, great work. And the total return fund was able to show an outperformance of 96% of its category, and Morningstars has just handed back the 5-star rating to us, which they had withdrawn after Bill Gross had left. So all those, as I call them, health indicators are pointing into the right direction. And I mean, I don't want to make any forecasts in this regard because that would be against the law when the economic turnaround will follow. But from my point of view, it's only a question of time when this will happen. Now, the SEC investigations, I don't want to go into any detail on this because we're not allowed to do that in as these are ongoing investigations. But I can tell you it's been on the working level of SEC that they turn to us. And one thing is important. I mean, each and every day, organizations get in contact with the SEC in the United States. That's a normal process. And the most important point for me is that are we alleged in any way to have done anything to the detriment of our investors? And the clear statement is no. It's about a technical evaluation, and from our point of view, we don't see ourselves at fault. But nevertheless, there's a difference between being right and getting right, so we are a little cautious in this. Can I ask a follow-up on this? Yes, certainly. So you don't want to give us an outlook for the future for asset management, but the operating results went down a quarter in the 25% in the quarter. Do you believe this will continue that way, or can you give us an outlook on this? I can't give you any forward-looking outlooks, but the second quarter was coined by one-off effects in different forms where we believe they won't continue this way. So we had special measures, we had special cost positions. We went into a new building, for example, so these measures led to costs, and I would therefore say the result of the second quarter, especially the cost profit ratio, cannot be simply extrapolated for the future. Okay, I don't know exactly whether this referred to asset management. This sounded more general cost income ratio. No, I meant the asset management, especially, and here, especially PIMCO. Okay, thank you very much. Then the next question, please. Our next question is by Mirko Rekov, Platobrief. Yeah, two questions. Good morning. First of all, Mr. Bethe, I would like to know, or I would like to get an explanation why you had a change on the board of management yesterday, and whether you plan any additional changes, and then looking at the focal points of your program that you want to start. If I see this correctly, it's also linked to higher investments. So could you explain in how far the cost positions for the next years might change? So will there be a higher cost to fact Allianz in this regard? And then a question of understanding regarding PIMCO. These 30 billion, are they including exchange rate effects or excluding them? Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Radka. We're looking up the PIMCO question. Let me start with the Board of Management and Investments into the program. Mr. Bauer stepped down on short notice, and I'm grateful of that because we have a simple question. He would have left at the end of the year because he went above the age threshold in 2014, so that was planned. And now in September, with our top management, we will have the opportunity to work on the implementation of the new program for the coming years. And therefore, he then said from himself, well, if you talk there, my managers will ask themselves who will be my successor and will not deal in enough detail with the future and the implementation, but more ask themselves who will be the new boss. And that's why I was glad to say, okay, then we'll seize the opportunity to reduce the size of the Board of Management to then be able to work on the new structures and reporting paths to take out uncertainties for the future. And in addition to this, we don't have any changes planned on the Board of Management. And the situation is now as follows. We will develop the content of the program, first of all. Then in the second step, we'll deal with the question of what kind of an organizational setup we need to implement the program. And once we've clarified the target structure, then we'll deal with the question of how to set up the teams to then implement our program in the future. This is the direction we'll take exactly, and that's why I can't tell you at all what the team will look like in the future. We first have to work on the structures and contents, and then we will talk about people. And when it comes to investments, it's true. We will invest a lot more into digitalization and technology and also to the change of culture. So we'll also invest into our employees, of course, because you need the right skills for that. But on the other hand, we also assume that through digitalization of our business model, we will increase productivity significantly by simpler products, by reducing complexity for the customers and also for our organization. So I don't assume that the cost ratio net or the net cost will increase, but I assume that we will be able to improve the productivity of Allianz despite higher investments into technology. Okay, then let me answer the PIMCO question on page 15. The net outflows, those were at current exchange rates. The exchange rate column shows the content that so PIMCO had $32 billion in outflows, and that was then approximately calculated at an exchange rate of 110. Okay, thank you very much. Does that answer the question, Mr. Rocca? Yes, thank you. Then we'll come to the next question, please. Our next question is by Ulrike Dauer of Wall Street Journal. Yeah, good morning. Once again on PIMCO, I still see a decline of the outperformance figures of the benchmark, so assuming PIMCO might take longer to recover, so when would you have to reduce the outlook for the asset management profit, or the other way, how much weakness can you still withstand at PIMCO until it has a negative influence on your overall results? And then, that's the first question, and then the SEC investigations, what kind of costs might you be facing there regarding reputational risks, and what else needs to be included? I mean, after you're just recovering after the situation. And then I would like an update on MH370. Allianz is the lead reinsurer in the All Risk Consortium. Last year, Mr. Wemmer said, based on an insured market claim of $350 million, you would expect a share of $30 million. Could you give us an update on that? And could you also say what it means that part of the debris of this aircraft has been found now? How does that change the situation for the insurers, maybe also the negotiations with the families of the victims and so on? Okay, good morning, Ms. Dauer. I don't know which figures you're referring to for the outperformance. The only bad figure, if you wish, was the three-year performance, right? Yeah, okay. So that contains many weak historic periods. So we need to separate, especially in the total return fund, the development before Bill Gross left and afterwards. That's important, I think, because the decline started before he left, and this might have been part of the reason for his decision to leave. We had several issues. The last performance after he left was great, so I have a completely different perspective on this. Well, I just looked at the figure, 84% 3 years, 89% and the second quarter, 2014. So overall, third party assets under management, not just total return. The three-year performance is as you described it. And you can go into 5 years, then it's 91%. But what's important for me is what has happened ever since Bill Gross has left us. And we are in the process of coming back again. And I was an advisor of a large company struggling with this in 2008, and it's taken them 4 years to recover. And we're talking about only a few months in which the largest bond manager in the world has set himself up. And I think the performance of the colleagues in Newport Beach is just great. And then the second point, the investigations. We cannot make any clear statements about the costs, but you never know. I mean, that is a certain kind of va-banque game. We are prepared to any kind of burden. We've We're well prepared and we keep quiet right now. The statement that I've just made remains. It's most important that no customers were influenced negatively in any way by the things that are under discussion here. So, and it's more of a side topic for us. And then MH370, it's still too early to say the final claims that Allianz will have to be facing. The statements by Mr. Wemmer are still valid. All the insurers made reserves of $300 million then. And from our point of view, nothing has changed in the current situation through the fact that some debris of the aircraft has been found. Okay, thank you very much, Ulrike. And next question, please. The next question is by Kerstin Leitl of Handelsblatt. Well, good morning. I have some short follow-ups. You, Mr. Bethe, are said to be a man of figures, so he said investment program, the investment program, heritage and renewal. What kind of investments will there be in the next few years? Maybe you could give us a little bit of a clearer outlook. What you want to invest in this regard and what kind of savings you do expect. And then you also talked about reducing costs. Of course, there's always the question whether this might also be linked to any layoffs of employees. And then you also mentioned that Mr. Diekmann did pretty well in many areas and that there's a lot you don't want to change. But maybe you could give us an idea of what the areas are where you need to change something, where you see the focal points. Those were that's my first set of questions. And then the M&A wave that's currently racing through the industry, and maybe you could tell us a little bit about your stance in this regard. Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Leitl. I can't give you the investment sums in euros in any way because we're still working on the agenda with the colleagues. As I said, especially we'll be working on it in September. And then we have a planning process which foresees that we will give a three-year plan then for the years 2016 to 2018 to discuss then also with the supervisory board and all those. And then we will go to the public. So I have to ask you for some patience because we want to have an internal drive here for the changes of Allianz. I know that's not truly helpful for you, no, but we need to have all the colleagues on board. We need to plan this in detail, and then we will go outside. And that's why I can't say anything what this means for IT programs, for employees, and so on and so forth at this point. And the topic regarding renewal compared to the heritage of what we had. Well, Allianz today is an extraordinarily well set up company, and that's this instinct. I mean, I've heard over the last 3 months we could do this better or that, but that's not useful. It doesn't make any sense. What do we have? We have an enormously strong balance sheet, which is highly important for a financial service provider, so that we are able to absorb shocks that will occur time and again. That's the basis for the trust of our customers. Secondly, we have a setup that is very strong. We are highly profitable. We have satisfied customers in many areas, not in all, but in many. And we have employees who are highly motivated and working not just in the optimization of the existing setup, but also the preparation of future topics. So in the last few years, for example, we've seen major progress when it comes to the digitalization of our products. And the main change which we'll need, which is not induced internally but externally, is the angle of attack and the speed that is increasing. And the second topic that's to deal with the coverage. We come from a decentralized organization, and that's something we also want to maintain, where our OEs have large leeway in their markets and want to maintain this, but we need more commonality nevertheless. So we need stronger information investments into common platforms, and that's something you need in the digital world. Uber and Airbnb have one platform globally, and that's easy for them to grow then. And we come from a world where everyone had their own platforms, and that's no longer viable for the future. So we go step by step into unifying our infrastructure. That is one of the steps, and we'll have others to follow. Now, the topic M&A, well, there are always cyclical trends. I mean, whenever you feel rich on the one hand, and whenever growth is declining in the industry, the hunger for consolidation grows. That is useful to a certain degree, where you have large synergies because you can create growth or cost synergies, but sometimes it's not useful because it's purely about size. And we have a cautious stance, a very cautious stance still in this topic, and stand by the strategy we've announced time and again over the years. So we want to grow also externally, where three requirements have been fulfilled. So we have a market which we understand well, where we have a good operating platform with great performance, and thirdly, where we have a management team that makes it possible to stem a successful integration, just as we've shown in Turkey over the last few years, or in Italy last year with the Nisa acquisition, or in France before that. Wherever the requirements are given, we might commit ourselves, and wherever that's not the case, we'll leave the field to others. Could I ask some follow-ups? Yes, of course. So do you see those three requirements fulfilled somewhere? This would be the first follow-up. And then the second one, I can hardly imagine that you initiate a program where you haven't calculated costs at all, where you haven't considered how much money you will need for that. So this will then only be established over the course of the next few weeks or months. And I mean, don't you have a certain investment budget for that? Well, the good news is that we are financially viable to such a degree that we can do whatever we want to do in this regard. So it's a question of good ideas and not so much of money, which differentiates us from many companies. And the second question, well, if I told you wherever we could do such M&As, you would get great provisions from banks, and therefore we don't do this. So unfortunately, Ms. Lytle, we cannot make this possible to you. Next question, please. Next question of Mr. Vaya of DPA AFX. Well, good morning from my side. I have some smaller questions. The Tank und Rast share of Allianz, I'd be interested in this. So we heard yesterday that you someone else that they acquired 10%. What's your share? And then the profit and loss statement, you had large profit from selling equities and fixed interest rate papers, which have driven up net income surprisingly. So could you tell us what the main areas were here? Then regarding new program, you said you wanted to present this at the end of the year. Do you have a certain date? Will there be a present for us around Christmas, or will this go into the new year? And then regarding this program, Mr. Bethe, you mentioned some central measures where Allianz wants to, the direction Allianz wants to take. And will then everything be online in the end and insurance get simpler? Is that how we can sum it up?
I think this will become much easier, and it's fun. And some people think this is an oxymoron, but it's not. So we have to go this way. You're laughing. And my children were laughing as well, and I showed them how to do it, and they were happy. And it's work. It works. And further to the question, when do you get the package? Okay, you can also put the boot outside for Santa Claus to put some in, and probably we will be able to do this by that. We're going to share this together with a colleague. That's the easiest answer. And we are having a highly participative process with not having 30 charts coming from the drawer. No, that's the opposite. It's important that our topic executives not only believe it in, but also know that they're not just part of the implementation, but also they're part of the solution processing. It takes a bit longer, but it's much better. And further to Tank and Rast, we said we are going to disclose our participation for all participants. I went to München, we didn't go to München or Rick yesterday. These shares are being layered further in this group, and that's why I'm not able. And then Mr. Wemmer is going to say something about the groups. Yeah, there were different shares. Saying the individual names probably would lead to wrong conclusions, and whether we express an opinion about these shares, and that's why I would rather not say that, because these are always reflected by tactical decisions that we do on the whole, and concentration risks that are being changed. That's why you wouldn't be able to derive anything from the name. Mm-hmm, okay, thank you. All right. Okay, thank you. Okay. Our next question comes from Kirsten Jones from Reuters. Catherine Jones, please. Many questions have been answered. I would like to follow up on one thing, Mr. Bethe, you said at the beginning that you're going to open up new growth markets, but independent from M&A, where you do not can say too many details, understandably. But what are the top three countries from your perspective outside Europe where we would say they are exciting, they could be interesting, we want to do more here, we haven't done enough here? That is the agile approach of Allianz, we want to go there. No, there are no top three countries, but it's quite obvious that in the US we want to grow more, and we've done this already. Mr. Wemmer has described AC Life before. We were developing nicely because we have highly innovative products. And also we want to grow further in Asia, and you can tell by the strong growth that we see in our Southeast Asia again that we are having a strong position and to go on with that. There are a lot of fields, and there's not just three markets, which is the benefit of having this network of more than 70 countries. It is rather about this topic of the right balance between margin and growth. We are having seen a very strong margin-related growth, and due to the various drops, and for the right reasons, we were able to be defensive. Meanwhile, our balance sheet is so strong that we're able to afford that, and we must do that to invest more into growth and think more in growth and to deal with that. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Jones. The next and probably last question. Please press star one in order to ask a question. Now our next question, Jean-Philippe Lacour. Thank you. Hello, Mr. Bemmer, Mr. Bethe, and in New York. I would like to ask a question about M&A, and I'd like to link this with the mantra of digitalization. Do you want to do this on a standalone basis, or do you see acquisition potential in the fintech technologies where you find high tech companies and a solid customer base that you would be able to open? I'm taking this parallel with the sports manufacturer Adidas, and they said that there's a one to stick with 70 million users were bought by them, and that opens huge opportunities, and that these users might buy shoes or Adidas t-shirts. Do you want to do this alone with digitalization, or do you want to go on with acquisitions? And another question, Mr. Bethe, that you said, so you have taken pleasure in driving in such a big Allianz, and still driving the i3 BMW since November, that you collected yourself in the BMW branch in November, and do you driving another car based on your status with the chauffeur? Have you changed that? Have you swapped that instead of driving the i3 from BMW? Oh, that's a great question. Because growth, actually, what I should have said this before, is not only related to growth in traditional segments, but it's also related to growth in new areas. Our service business is increasing and it's growing. Allianz Global Partners, Allianz Worldwide Care, Allianz Worldwide Partners, Allianz Assistance, which is by far the largest assistance provider worldwide, we're growing a lot. And the second chance with the assistance services connecting it with our product, we have the NPS values are excellent, net promoter score and satisfaction are not big, the biggest, when they are related to that service alone, but once we are able to combine it, and we want to be the contact between insurance and asset services plus assistance, because our customers love it. So both classic services, but also in new technologies. And because this gets us closer to customers, and that gives us a good customer interaction, and we're doing something. We're really happy about this question. I don't know whether we buy a web provider. When it comes to technology and services, we're definitely going to invest further. We've done this already, and this will be part of the core of our portfolio. I do have fun in the i3. I still drive that car. I don't have any other company car, and I also bought an electric roller here in Munich, and so we can drive here in Munich. It's a bit more fun, and sometimes I'm lazy, and when I have a wrong, you know, this is great to go by scooter, and that's funny, so instead of going by bike, so I'm driving around with the e-scooter. That's fun because the technology works. Because the old problem was the technology didn't work, and so forth, and then they said the customers do not want to switch to different options. The opposite is the case. The better the technology works, the better the batteries are, the more you would take a driving pleasure. You know, the sheer driving pleasure, that's the most important thing. You know, that's that famous slogan, and that's what it's all about. And this won't change. Are you happy, Flip? Lovely. Yeah, that you're driving your e-car without a chauffeur. I think this could, you could be a role model for others. Well, to be honest, sometimes I also get being driven in the electric car. So if I was in the office for 14 hours and would have to go another 50 kilometers at night, so otherwise I would find myself at a traffic risk. And I sometimes have a glass of beer or a wine with my customers, and that's why I would not want to drive myself. Okay. Lovely. Good. The next question, please. Please press star 1 to ask a question. Our next question comes from Jonathan Gould from Thomson Reuters. Just a short question about M&A. The name Allianz has been mentioned in the context of insurers RFR. Mr. Bethe, based on your previous statement, would you exclusively exclude Allianz, having an Allianz in RSA? Now, we don't make comments on M&A, so please understand that we never make statements about future transactions. I would be liable to prosecution. Yeah, I'm sorry for that. Sometimes we can't. Do we have any other question? No more further questions. All right, thank you very much. I'm closing the Q&A session. This is my last session after 23 years. Thanks to all of you with the fairness and your benevolence and the critical statements, and I would kindly ask you to continue with this benevolence from Mr. Schwarzer, and so I wish you a nice summer and arrivederci. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, hereby the conference is closed. Thank you very much for your participation, and we hope you have a pleasant day. Thank you.